So there's the occasional Sunday or before the Sunday when I look at the readings and I say, shoot, I wish there could be something else I could talk about. Part of the reason is that was like a really complicated gospel. What is it about? Well, it has something to do with predictive language. And that got me thinking about predictions. Back in 1943, Thomas Watson, who was the chairman of IBM, predicted the following. I think that the world market for computers might someday reach five. We might have five computers in the world. And then back in 1949, Popular Mechanics had this prediction. Where a computer today is equipped with 18,000 vacuum cubes and weighs 30,000 tons, computers in the future may weigh only 1.5 tons and have 1,000 vacuum cubes. And then there was the inventor, Lee DeForest, who said this about television. While theoretically and technically television may be feasible, commercially and financially it will be an impossibility. And then back in 1962, there was this prediction from the Decca Record Company. We don't like their sound, and guitar music is on the way out. That was their prediction in 1962 about four boys from Liverpool. Predictive language. Predictions. How do we know whether or not they're going to come true? And especially when it comes to really important predictions, like the predictions of Jesus Christ. And part of the problem about today's gospel is, what's Jesus talking about? Is he talking about the end of the world? Or is he talking about the destruction of the Jerusalem temple? And I want to suggest to you this morning that the passage we heard read from Deacon Stephen is not about the end of the world. It's about the destruction of the Jerusalem temple. And one of the key phrases is the following. All of these things will take place during this generation. Some modern scholars have said, well, you see, here Jesus was predicting the end of the world. It didn't take place within his generation. Therefore, he's not true with that prediction, and he cannot, therefore, be the Son of God. But when you understand what Jesus is talking about, it takes on a whole different perspective. If you were to read from the beginning of Mark 13, we see Jesus and the apostles in Jerusalem, and they're before the temple. And Jesus says, the day is going to come when one stone will no longer be standing on another. And the apostles say, how can that be? This magnificent building, these stones are huge, Jesus. How will it come tumbling down? And as we continue to read through Mark 13, Jesus is talking about a catastrophe. But he's talking about it in relation to the temple. Because this is what we need to appreciate, that for the Jewish people, the temple was a microcosm of the universe. The temple itself represented the world. And within the temple, there was a bronze sea that represented the ocean. And if you were to look to the temple's ceiling, it depicted stars. And then on the outside, there was the symbol of the zodiac. And the thing that we need to appreciate is that for the Jewish people, if the temple was destroyed, it was like the end of the universe. We know historically that the temple was destroyed in the year 70 AD. But let me tell you about AD 69. There were four emperors in that year. The first one you'll know, his name was Nero. The second guy you probably never heard of, he didn't stay on the throne for very long. His name was Otho. The third guy was Vitellius. Probably haven't heard of him either. But maybe the fourth name rings a bell if you know anything about Roman history. His name was Vespasian. And Vespasian had an adopted son whose name was Titus. And as Vespasian was in Rome getting the crown, Titus was in Jerusalem destroying the temple, burning the city, and crucifying many, many Jews. Oh, by the way, Titus became emperor after Vespasian. This telling photograph that you see up on the screen represents the consequence of the temple's destruction. In the background, you see the Colosseum in Rome. The Colosseum was built primarily with Jewish slave labor. It took 7 years, and the money that the Romans used to build it, oh, they got that from the Jerusalem temple. All of the gold, everything that was in the temple, they sold that to build the Colosseum. And that arch in the foreground, that's called the Arch of Titus. It was constructed in the year 81 AD, actually just after Titus himself had died. So it was to be a memorial to him. But if you look at the Arch of Titus, what it details is the events that happened in Jerusalem in the year 70 AD. And so what is helpful is to know from pictorial history and from the history, not only in the New Testament, but particularly from a Jewish writer named Josephus, we know for sure that the Jerusalem temple was destroyed in the year 70 AD. So imagine this, if you're a Jew and the temple is destroyed, what kind of language are you going to use to try to convey this event? Well, listen to the language Jesus used 40 years before the temple's destruction. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will be falling from heaven and the powers of heaven will be shaken. In other words, what Jesus is saying, it's going to be earth-shattering. It's going to shake the heavens. It's going to shake the earth. And then he says something very interesting. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Now, this is one of those homilies where it is a little bit technical and you might fall asleep. I hope not. But the Son of Man image is one that we have to understand as coming from the book of Daniel, chapter 7. So if you were to read through Daniel 7, there's another prediction there. We read of the dominant superpowers that are going to rule the world from the time of the Babylonians, 560 years before Christ, all the way up to the Roman rule. And all of these empires are represented as being beasts. They are all in opposition to God and his kingdom. And so we get this picture of these beasts who are ruling the world. And then we look heavenward, and we're told that the Ancient of Days takes his seat upon the throne. This is God the Father. And as the Ancient of Days is on the throne, Daniel then tells us these words. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a Son of Man, and he came to the Ancient of Days. And he was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and kingdom, and all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and it will not pass away. So in our gospel, when Jesus says the Son of Man will come on clouds, he's referring to himself. And what he has in mind is Daniel chapter 7. But this is what Jesus wants the reader to see, or Mark as the gospel writer. This isn't about the second coming. This is about what will happen in light of the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. That the mission of the Son of Man will go out to the whole world. And people from the four corners of the earth will come and they will worship Jesus. He will become, as it says here, the one that peoples, nations, and languages should serve. This is very important for us to understand. Because what Jesus is saying is his mission will ultimately be vindicated 40 years after his resurrection and ascension into heaven. His mission will be vindicated when the temple, which was the center point of worship and sacrifice, will give way to the new mission of the universal church. And so Jesus says, from the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, right at the gates. And so what Jesus is saying at this point of such cataclysmic horror is going to be a time when he, Jesus Christ, is going to be particularly present. And then Jesus goes on to say, truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all of these things have taken place. That cannot refer to the second coming, because we're still here. But all of these things, pointing to what would happen in Jerusalem between 66 and 70 AD, in the year 30, Jesus predicted that all of these things would take place. And indeed, it's subsequent to that date that we begin to see the mission of the church expand so that now the church is universal. We are, in part, the fruit of Jesus' predictive language. And so what does that mean for us? Well, it means that Jesus is true to his word. And Jesus does say a lot about the second coming as well, which has not happened yet. And if Jesus was true about what happened then, we can trust that he will be true, that he is going to come again in glory. And for people who are learning to live this way, with an awareness of Jesus' words, we take to heart what he said at the end of today's gospel. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Now think about that. What do we have here? We have the words of Jesus in this beautiful gold gospel book. And for 2,000 years, what have we been doing as Catholic Christians? Mass after mass after mass, we have been listening to a word that will never, ever pass away. And when people take to heart and that they trust in the reliability of Jesus, then with the psalmist, we're able to sing, I will keep the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. I don't know about you, but in a world like this, it's hard to rest secure. But when we trust in Jesus Christ, when we understand that he is Lord of history, then we can also hear from another part of Daniel, which was our first reading from the 12th chapter. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. This is an Old Testament prediction about the second coming. That after Jesus comes again, there will be a resurrection. And I love the language, some will rise to everlasting life. And tragically, some will rise to everlasting contempt. So in conclusion, how should we live? Well, Daniel tells us in the last verse of today's reading. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky. Who are the wise ones? Those who are applying the words of Jesus to their lives. Those who are wise will also bring many to righteousness. That is, draw other people to the Son of God. And they will shine like the stars forever and ever. Predictions come and go. Most of them hit their target by a mile. But not the predictions of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So may we listen to Jesus, whose words are trustworthy and his predictions come true. And may we find ourselves not as falling stars, stars of catastrophe. No, no. May we be those stars that, because of Jesus Christ, shine forever and ever.